Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Friday, March 25, and we are taking up today the false assurance of religious affiliation as we are working our way through Romans chapter 2, verse by verse, and we are looking at several deceitful counterfeits of salvation. The first being a false assurance of religious profession, the second being the false assurance of religious knowledge, and the third now being the false assurance of religious affiliation. And here's what the Apostle Paul says in verses 25 through 27. He says, "For indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If therefore the uncircumcised man keep the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And will not he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you, who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law?" Now, what is all this about? We're looking at things again in the context of the Jewish controversy, which was very prominent in Paul's day. Paul himself, of course, was a Jew racially, was a Jew religiously. That's an interesting question in itself. What is it to be a Jew? What is it primarily? A matter of race, a matter of religion? It's obviously both. You can't really say it is one or the other totally. But I think we have to accept and recognize that it is primarily a matter of religion. You say, why so? Because there were provisions in the Old Testament scriptures for Gentiles to become Jews. Now, if it's a matter of race, that's not possible. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spots, etc., etc.? We can't really change our race. We are what we are. We are what we were born. We are what our parents were. We are a combination of what our two parents were. We're all, listen to me, we're all racially mixed. What is a race? What is an unmixed race? I wish I had time to get into this because there is an awful lot of misunderstanding, an awful lot of folly in this area. And yet we do understand that there is such a thing as race. And this has to do with our birth and our heritage, and it traces back to our lineage. And there are different families of people on the face of the earth, and these families that have certain physical characteristics, also have certain cultural characteristics, and those things make a great, great deal of difference in our lives. The way we think about ourselves, the way we think about other people, the opportunities we have in life, and so forth and so on, these are of tremendous importance. However, what we as Christians should understand is, in Christ, there is no such distinction. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no black, there is no white, there is no bond, there is no free. In Christ, there are no such distinctions. And Paul, who was a Jew by birth, racially and religiously, met Jesus Christ, and when he did, what did he do? He gave up his Jewish religion. So was Paul a Jew? Well, yes and no. Racially, he was. That was his background and heritage. And he could trace his lineage through the tribe of Benjamin all the way back to Abraham. He was indeed of the physical line of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. That made him racially, a Jew, about as Jewish as you can become. However, religiously, he was no longer a Jew. He gave up his Jewish religion. Why? Well, there's two answers to that question. Everything is a little more complex than you might at first think it to be. The most simple answer to that is because he met Jesus Christ. And when you are a Christian, you are no longer a Jew religiously. And we recognize that today, don't we? When we're talking about religion, we talk about the Christians and Muslims and Jews. And these are different religions. And they are, what should I say? They are incompatible in a sense. Now, there's a lot of effort in our day to make them all harmonious and to get rid of the animosity that exists between them, and I'm all for that. But let's not get the idea that we can throw them on the blender and somehow come out with the same thing. They're distinct. They're different. The Muslim religion is one religion. The Christian religion is another religion. The Jewish religion is another religion. There are commonalities between all three, I guess you understand. Jews, of course, consider theirs to be the grandfather of them all. And in a sense, I suppose that's true. That was first. Muslims were second. Christians were third, if we're talking about it chronologically. Muslims came along. Ooh, no, wait a minute. I got that wrong. Jews are first. Christians are second. Muslims are third, if you're dealing with it chronologically. The Christian religion centers upon a Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish religion, but in his birth and life and death on the cross and ascension to heaven, he opened wide the gate of salvation to the world, to Gentiles as well as Jews. And that was the end of any kind of exclusive claim of the Jewish nation upon salvation and upon being identified as the people of God. Now the people of God are identified as Christians. They are identified by their relationship with Jesus Christ. They are identified, let me put it this way to be more precise, they are identified by the relationship to Jehovah, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, through Jesus Christ. Now the Jews who reject Jesus as the Christ consider themselves still to be the people of God, and consider themselves to be related to Jehovah, and consider themselves to be more appropriately and properly related to Jehovah than Christians, but they consider themselves to be related to Jehovah through Moses and Abraham, not through Jesus. So this becomes, of course, the bone of contention. What identifies one as a true person of God, if I can put it in the singular? What identifies people, let's make it plural, as the true people of God? Is it your identification with Jehovah through Abraham and Moses? And is it sort of a combination racial religious matter? Or is it your identification with Jehovah through Jesus Christ, and is it a matter of faith? Well, Christians believe it is the latter. And our scriptures support that. Our New Testament scriptures certainly make that crystal clear, but of course, Jews don't accept the New Testament as scriptures, but the truth of the matter is, the Old Testament scriptures teach the same thing, and an awful lot of the New Testament scriptures demonstrating what I have just said prove their assertions by quoting from the Old Testament and interpreting those Old Testament scriptures in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ in the way that I've just described. And so there's plenty of evidence for this in the Old Testament scriptures. It was always God's plan to include Gentiles. Going clear back to Abraham and the promise made to Abraham that through him will all the nations of the earth be blessed. And what is the proper way to understand that promise? The Jew would say, well, we understand that promise by God blessing Israel and then the other nations receiving sort of a secondary blessing from God as they relate themselves to Israel, as they maybe come under the domination of Israel or whatever. Israel's going to be the prominent nation, and those who are willing to relate themselves peacefully and appropriately to Israel, they can get the spillover blessing that is primarily reserved for the nation of Israel. But The New Testament scriptures show us a different way of interpreting that. And it is that when Christ came, from there on out, the blessing of Abraham depends entirely upon faith in the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with bloodline, has nothing to do with religious ceremony, has nothing to do with circumcision. None of that. It's only faith in Jesus Christ that brings one into the family of God and makes one a member of the true people of God, related to Jehovah, the true God, through Jesus Christ. Now, the Muslims came along some 600 and some years after Christ, and they claim to be the true successors to the Abrahamic promises through Ishmael, and they've rewritten the scriptures and made Ishmael the promised son of Abraham, not Isaac, and so they have basically, as it were, sidetracked the Jews in their claim, because they traced their lineage back to Abraham through Isaac. They said, no, we, the Arab people of the world, are the true people of God. We trace our lineage back to God, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, through Ishmael, and he was the promised son. And he was the one that Abraham sacrificed, or was willing to sacrifice on Mount Moriah, and God stopped him. And they have rewritten that section of Scripture. Now you've got competing claims. And the Muslims intend to conquer the world through, well, depending on which branch of Islam you're talking about, many of them through military conquest. Others say, no, that's not the way. It needs to be in a peaceful way, by proclaiming the truth and calling upon people to believe in it, the same way that Christians evangelize, and even Jews, the same way that Jews evangelize. It is possible for a Gentile to convert to Judaism. I know a number of people who've done that. I know some very famous people who've done that. Racially? No way. But religiously, yes. Are they now Jews? Yes. So what is Judaism? What is Jewishness? Is it racial? Is it religious? I say there are certainly strong elements of both, but it is primarily and predominantly and ultimately religious. And it has to be understood that way. And therefore, to be frank with you, I don't think an atheistic Jew has any rightful claim to Jewishness, although, again, there goes back to the racial matter rather than the religious matter. But that's the background of what Paul is dealing with here when he's talking in terms of circumcision and uncircumcision, in which he says, for indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you don't, then your circumcision is the same as uncircumcision. It's not a matter of outward rite and ritual. It is a matter of what you do that really identifies one as a member of the community of God. And so a false assurance of religious affiliation many times causes people to think that they are ready for the judgment day, when in fact they are not. So dear friend, you better examine your heart. You better examine your life. You better examine your profession. You better examine your claimed identification. You better be sure that you are truly ready for the judgment day. Until next week at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.